The Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to our continuing coverage of the COVID-19 crisis. I'm Bill Price. Paralyzed economy.
We're doing all we can to help shepherd the economy through this difficult time.
That is where we're going to start this noon hour. More than 6.6 million Americans filing for first-time unemployment benefits last week. Over the past 3 weeks, 17 million Americans have lost their jobs. That's the largest and the fastest string of job losses since 1948. The experts say this virus has indeed shut down this economy.
The records continue to just blow the minds of every economist and every American who sees the numbers come in.
Business analyst Jill Schlesinger says more than 20 million Americans may end up losing their jobs this month alone.
I'm hopeful that some of the Small Business Administration loans will bring some of these folks who are sidelined back onto their payrolls. They won't go to work, but at least they'll be getting paid during this time.
But this morning, Democrats blocked a $250 billion emergency request by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and the White House. That money would have shored up a depleting small business fund to help keep companies open during the pandemic. Also today, Fed head Jerome Powell announcing that better days lie ahead for the U.S. economy.
There is every reason to believe that the economic rebound, when it comes, can be robust. We entered this turbulent period on a strong economic footing, and that should help support the recovery.
Powell says a quick economic rebound is likely later this year if the coronavirus is brought under control. With the virus cases and deaths on the rise across America, President Trump still optimistic the end is in sight. The commander-in-chief says Americans deserve a lot of the credit for that.
They've been in those houses and those apartments and they're built. I mean, they've done a great job.
Health experts say there's increasing evidence that social distancing is working, hospitalizations in New York going down, and Dr. Deborah Birx says the total number of projected deaths has dropped sharply.
That is modeled on what America is doing.
So when can the country reopen for business? The president says there's no time set.
We have to be on that downside of that slope and heading to a very strong direction that this thing is gone.
The CDC says essential workers who've been exposed to coronavirus but don't have the symptoms can keep working. The new guidelines apply to first responders, healthcare workers, and those in the food industry. Officials say when they return to work, they need to get their temperatures checked, wear a face mask. This nurse from New Jersey contracted COVID-19 while on the job.
We don't have time to drink. We don't want to take our masks off to drink because we're afraid to.
An Army field hospital in Seattle, meantime, has shut down before it even opened up. Officials say the hospital wasn't needed because there's enough room now in regular hospitals in Seattle. That's a good sign. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's leading expert on infectious diseases. He also sits on the president's coronavirus task force.
I'm always very cautious about jumping the gun and saying, well, we have turned the corner. But I think we are really looking at the beginning of that, which would really be very encouraging. We need that right now.
Fauci says right now the total U.S. death toll from COVID-19 will be around 60,000 instead of earlier projections of at least 100,000.
I believe we are going to see a downturn in that, but having said that, we better be careful that we don't say, okay, we're doing so well, we could pull back. We still have to put our foot on the accelerator.
And Dr. Fauci says the worst thing we can do is let this monster resurface. He says the nation will get back to normal in different places at different times.
When you say get back to normal, it's not going to be a light switch that you turn on and off. It's going to be differential and gradual depending upon where you are.
And today we learned that researchers in New York City announced the coronavirus was brought to the Big Apple by travelers to Europe back in mid-February. With Bernie Sanders out of the race, will his supporters go to Joe Biden? That is the big question. Political analyst Ed O'Keefe.
The Biden and Sanders campaigns have actually been working together for weeks to try to figure out which of the senator's policy proposals the former vice president might be able to adopt as a way to further unify the party. The senior Biden advisor tells us we can expect more on that in the near future.
President Trump blaming Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren for Bernie's dropout. Mr. Trump says Sanders would have won nearly every single state on Super Tuesday had Warren dropped out of the race. She did, one day after Super Tuesday. Still to come this Thursday, extending unemployment in New York, schools are closed in Pennsylvania, and lawn care, the latest victim of COVID-19.
Well, good afternoon to all. A very changeable weather pattern is upon us. Everything from sunshine to snowflakes to raindrops and gusting winds, all in the mix. I'll be back to spell things out in that forecast for you coming up in about 10 minutes.
Okay, Kevin Williams, checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, Thursday, April 9th. Schools now closed for the rest of the academic year in the state of Pennsylvania. That decision announced today by Governor Tom Wolf as the Commonwealth deals with the coronavirus. Flattening the curve, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he's cautiously optimistic in the fight against COVID-19, but now is not the time to get complacent.
I'm more worried about people saying, oh, well, the number of cases is coming down. It's now safer. It's not.
The governor says even though the death rate continues to rise, hospitalizations are dropping every single day. Cuomo says New Yorkers also don't have to go to the polls to cast a ballot on primary day.
By executive order, all New Yorkers can vote absentee on June 23rd. Primaries coming up.
In Pennsylvania, Governor Tom Wolf signing an executive order that allows the transfer of medical equipment between hospitals in the Commonwealth.
This will allow us to move key equipment like personal protective equipment and ventilators to high population, high impact areas.
The governor says places like Philadelphia expected to see a spike in COVID-19, and the state has to be ready to meet the demand.
So I'm trying to make sure that we take this scarce set of resources that we have and make sure that we're deploying them in the areas that need them the most.
Governor Wolf says this coordination between hospitals across Pennsylvania is essential to saving lives in the Commonwealth. New York State extending unemployment benefits for another 13 weeks for a total of 39 weeks. Governor Cuomo says the state will make an additional $600 payment for anyone who filed for unemployment.
The federal government says they will reimburse us for it, but people need money now in their pocket.
My bank account, I'd have probably like $50 left. You know, so there's going to come a point when that's gone and I won't be able to buy food or pay my bills. And what am I going to do?
Buffalo's Gianna Totaro says she's been trying to collect unemployment for 2 weeks now after losing both of her jobs because of this health crisis.
It will offer me to put in my social security number, my PIN number to speak to someone. You have that kind of little glimmer of hope that, like, yeah, I actually got through. And then it will kind of give you a voice recording saying, we're sorry, we're overloaded with calls, and then it will just hang up on you.
Hundreds of thousands of people statewide have had similar stories. Melissa DeRosa, press secretary to the governor, she says the state is working on it.
So this volume is something that we've never experienced before, and it's frustrating, and it's horrible, and it's unacceptable, but we just ask that people remain patient, and we are working at it. We just put 300 more people in addition to the 700 people that were manning the call system, so we are trying to do everything we can to attack this issue.
Governor Cuomo says they've teamed up with Google to improve the website, which should allow more people to sign up at one time without crashing the site. The coronavirus could cost Pennsylvania $2.7 billion in lost tax revenue over the next 15 months, blowing a serious hole in the state budget. Family Life's Terry Diener.
According to a report by the state's independent fiscal office, that's the best case scenario, assuming the businesses can reopen by April 27th. If the statewide shutdown has to remain in place for another 6 weeks, the office estimates the state would be facing a financial hit of $3.7 billion in lost revenue. The independent fiscal office says those numbers don't take into account the effects of the recent $2.2 trillion federal stimulus package, which will bring roughly $50 billion to Pennsylvania through a variety variety of programs. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
The healthcare experts say they're concerned about nursing homes during this outbreak.
So this is unfortunately a perfect storm because of the patient characteristics and the setting in which they find themselves.
Dr. Bruce Trowin at UB says folks over the age of 80 have a death rate of 20% or higher from the virus. And staying 6 feet away inside a nursing home isn't that easy to do.
It may not be possible for the following reasons. Older adults may not be so mobile, especially if they're in a long-term care setting. And many older adults, frankly, may have cognitive impairment if they're in a nursing home and may not be able to understand or at least remember that these are the kinds of recommendations that are necessary to stay away from others.
Dr. Trowin says conditions inside a nursing home are ripe for the transmission of COVID-19, which he says is a death sentence for a lot of seniors. Lawn care and landscaping businesses across New York and Pennsylvania say the health crisis taking a big chunk out of their business.
I'm having to shut down right when it's about to get our busiest time of year, and that's really when you know the revenue starts flowing.
Josh Schmieder with Josh Landscaping in Honeyoy Falls, New York, says usually this time of year they're ramping up, but this year they're doing less work with less workers.
Things that aren't essential are patio construction, planting installation, anything really cosmetic related.
But lawn mowing and chemical treatments are still allowed.
We sanitize vehicles every night. We're only allowing one person in a truck. The rest of the crew drives their personal vehicles to the site.
Schmieder says maintaining lawns is actually an essential business.
If all outdoor maintenance shut down, sure, it would be fine for the next week, maybe two. But as the grass starts growing, as weeds start germinating, there's 2 or 3 foot tall weeds, grasses knee high, rodents, ticks are becoming a big issue in Western New York.
Lawn care businesses also say more people are doing outdoor work themselves because they have more time to do it right now. Looking to buy a car in Pennsylvania? Well, you can't.
Dealerships are closed and online car buying is not legal either. Dealers say with the current ban on sales, people who desperately need cars have no recourse but to travel to neighboring states, including New York, which has a higher infection rate than PA. Legislation that passed the state Senate this week would open the window for online sale by allowing notaries to temporarily work remotely during the outbreak. That measure heads to the state House for a vote. Brendan Dixon, Family Life News.
Ramping up restrictions, leaders across the southern tier are stepping up social distancing efforts. Elmira Mayor Dan Mandel.
What we've done is we've taken down the basketball hoops right now, so they won't be able to play basketball.
Mandel says the stay-at-home order has led to an increase in use of outdoor basketball courts. He says if folks cannot follow the rules, they'll shut down the parks.
We really don't want to get to that point. I mean, that's the final option if people aren't going to obey by the mandate.
Mandel says the sooner everyone follows the social distancing rules, the quicker this crisis will be over. A Hollywood actor from Hornell, New York, is trying to lift up his hometown through this health crisis.
Western New York State, our home turf, has sometimes felt like it was buffered from the outside world, a peaceful place, a little apart from it all. But this coronavirus is now challenging us here.
Bill Pullman says we're all in this fight together, and he's pulling for Hornell to come through.
And I know someday that we'll look back on this moment in Steuben and Allegheny counties, and we'll admire how we pulled together, and we're all able to say, I did my part.
With nearly 100 cases of COVID-19 in the greater Hornell area, Steuben County Police say they're stepping up enforcement of social distancing rules. First-time offenders, you'll get a warning. County Sheriff Jim Allard says repeat offenders face up to a year in jail and a $2,000 fine. They are not joking around. In Steuben County, New York, Syracuse University going to hold commencement ceremonies for the class of 2020 at the new and improved Carrier Dome this fall. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Yeah, Chancellor Kent Siverud said once the roof project is finished and once health officials say large gatherings are safe again, graduation will be one of the first events held in the new and improved Carrier Dome. Chancellor Siverud said the university is finalizing plans for commencement activities, including convocations for schools and colleges. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Horse, anyone? Sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Thank you, Bill. You're a basketball coach and you've played basketball, so I'm sure you've played quite a few games of horse. You don't have to be a big basketball fan to play a game of horse on the basketball court. You miss a shot, you get a letter. That simple, right?
Yeah.
Well, now the NBA is going to do it. Chris Paul, Trae Young, and Zach LaVine among some of the players ready for a big game of horse.
Nice.
The NBA and ESPN planning during the league's self-imposed break. The proposed tournament, which has no set date, is expected to contain WNBA players as well as some former NBA players. How about that? Can't wait to see it. This month's NFL draft will be turned into a fundraiser to help fight COVID-19. The league announced the 3-day virtual draft will benefit 6 NFL foundation charities that are battling the spread and providing relief. Dubbed Draftathon, it will also pay tribute to healthcare workers. Ciara and Russell Wilson are stepping into the fight. The Seattle Seahawks quarterback and his Grammy Award-winning wife are donating millions of meals to those in need with the help of the nonprofit Feeding America. They appeared on ABC's Good Morning America to talk about their motivation.
You know, when you think about it, at the core of it all, two of the greatest necessities and essentials are food and shelter. So it was really great for us to be able to, we really wanted to focus on those needs.
Seattle was hit pretty hard during the coronavirus early. Russell Wilson says things have not been too bad for his family. Sierra is expecting, and they want to make sure that they're doing what they can to give back in these tough times.
You know, the world is going through so much right now, and America is going through so much. And I think, you know, for us to just try to find a way to make a little bit of a difference, you know, has been, you know, important to us and heavy on our hearts.
And if the NHL were to resume their season with the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Toronto Maple Leafs, Philadelphia Flyers, Pittsburgh Penguins would all be in. The Islanders would miss the playoffs by 1 point, the Rangers by 2 points, the Sabres by 13. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
Thank you, Sonny. Great job as usual. Still to come this Thursday, the job losses mount as the COVID-19 shutdown continues. We'll have the very latest early signs of hope in this national pandemic. And Randy Newman and his new coronavirus song.
Talk about timely. An age-old question is relevant again. And now, an answer is available. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. The question that never goes away for Christians is, why would God allow evil and suffering? The latest version of this question is something like, where is God in a coronavirus world? Almost as soon as this question became relevant again in the face of the coronavirus pandemic, Dr. John Lennox turned around a book with answers. Now, if you know anything about the publishing world, the speed of this is stunning. If you know anything about Dr. Lennox, well, it's probably not because of his work in group theory as the building block of abstract algebra. You see, Lennox is an Oxford mathematician and also a Christian apologist who's debated the top atheists and religious skeptics of our time, including Richard Dawkins, Peter Singer, and the late Chris Hitchens. In these debates, he's faced the skeptics' claims about how the existence of evil and the existence of God are incompatible. His outstanding little book, published in what must be record time, is called Where is God in a Coronavirus World? You see, Lennox wrote this book, in his words, in order to convey some comfort, support, and hope to people who feel disoriented, concerned, even fearful because of the coronavirus pandemic and all of its consequences and disruption in our lives. To this end, Lennox largely succeeds. Like C.S. Lewis, whose essay On Living in an Atomic Age he quotes, Lennox notes that ours is not the first generation to face some kind of severe threat to our lives and well-being. But, unlike many previous generations, we tend to think of these kinds of threats as things of the past, and of personal safety as our God-given right. Like Lewis, Dr. Lennox also uses our collective shock when bad things happen to point out problems with atheism. For Richard Dawkins, the kind of suffering caused by pandemics, well, it's to be expected, since in his view, quote, there is at bottom no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. Of course, most people, even committed and thoughtful atheists, just can't live this way, much less say it out loud. Still, it's impossible to derive comfort or hope from atheism without contradicting the worldview that it implies. In contrast, while moral evil, natural disasters, and diseases like COVID-19 do pose a very real challenge to the Christian belief that this universe was created and is governed by a good God, within the Christian story itself is an answer to that challenge. See, the universe is not the way it's supposed to be. Humans were not the only part of creation affected by the fall. Nature itself was fractured by that same event, Linux says. But our current state is not, praise God, the end of the story. Through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ, a process has been inaugurated by which not only humans, but the rest of creation also will be rescued from the effects of the fall. As Dr. Linux says, a Christian is not a person who solved the problem of suffering, but one who has come to love and trust the God who has suffered for them. Now, if you're dealing with doubts and questions about God's goodness because of the coronavirus, or you know someone who is, this book by Dr. Linux, Where is God in a Coronavirus World, will help. And this month, I'd love to send you a copy as a thank you for any gift of any amount to Breakpoint and the Colson Center. Come to breakpoint.org/Linux. That's breakpoint.org/LENNOX. Next Wednesday, Dr. Linux will be my guest on the Breakpoint podcast. You don't want to miss it. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
A little white in parts of western New York this morning. Let's get to it. Here's weatherman Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. As a cold front sweeps east of the region this afternoon, the winds will be gusting and we'll find changeable skies that will include sun, a couple of showers, and by tonight, snowflakes will fly for some. Deeper into the Easter weekend, we expect high pressure to return the sun to the skies on Saturday, but a disturbance will bring us some clouds and a bit of rain for Easter Sunday. For this afternoon, windy with variably cloudy skies, a few intervals of sunshine, a couple of scattered showers, and a few snowflakes mixing in over the high ground of the western Twin Tiers. Temperatures holding nearly steady at present values or dropping a bit. Windy and colder tonight and tomorrow, lots of clouds, and there'll be any rain showers mixing with or changing to some snow or snow flurries that could leave a coating to an inch in some areas by morning, and you might find several inches on the highest summits of the western part of New York. Temperatures tonight dip toward freezing in the 30s to near 40 for tomorrow.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here is the very latest on the COVID-19 crisis for Thursday, April 9th. Weekly jobless claims, even worse than what the experts were predicting. 6.6 million Americans filing for first-time unemployment benefits last week as the coronavirus pandemic continues to ravage the U.S. economy.
During the entire recovery from the Great Recession, the U.S. economy added about 20 million jobs. We are nearing those job losses just in 3 or 4 weeks.
That's business analyst Jill Schlesinger. Fed head Jerome Powell says he expects the economy to rebound quickly once we get a handle on this pandemic. The virus numbers flattening in some parts of the country. Dr. Anthony Fauci says he expects next week to be a whole lot better than this week's been.
Bottom line of it all is that we see looking forward, it is very likely that we will progress towards the steps towards normalization as we get to the end of this 30 days.
Fauci says success will only be met with strict adherence to those social distancing guidelines. The CDC echoing those comments. Director Robert Redfield says essential workers exposed to the virus will be allowed to go back to work under the following conditions.
Take their temperature before they go to work, wear a face mask at all times, and practice social distancing when they're at work.
In New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio says even though the numbers are looking better, they're not going to jump the gun on opening up the Big Apple.
We cannot allow a resurgence. Whatever you do, don't let it get even worse. We have to be tough and disciplined.
New models now predict the overall death total to be much lower than what was previously thought. 24 minutes past the hour, next at noon, with everyone at home at the same time because of social distancing. Well, that can be a real pressure cooker for a lot of families. With that in mind, Family Life's Brandon Dixon sits down with marriage expert Dorothy Greco to talk about how you can handle this new normal.
I think you touched on a really important word there, and that's disruption. I think we're all experiencing that in some capacity, and especially as we come into the house and maybe we have a completely different work environment now, maybe a different work schedule. The kids are home too, and they're trying to get into some type of routine. And as you mentioned, I think a lot of us, we tend to marry our opposite. So then you've got polar opposite personalities then trying to live in close quarters 24/7 too. So how do you navigate those disruptions or those changes to where you don't get completely stressed out?
Well, I would say that the first week, probably neither of us did it. My husband and I, we did not do a great job at it. We were constantly interrupting each other. We were short with each other. The whole thing just so took us by surprise that we weren't prepared. So now we've had a little bit of time to think about it, a little bit of time to process through. And probably the ways that we responded are not dissimilar to the way many people do when you're in an emotional pressure cooker, right? Because there's this confined space thing with no clear end date, but then there's also the horror of this virus that's just taking over the world and none of us knowing, are we going to be okay? So pressure is high. And in those kind of situations, I think one of the most common things is that we try to self-medicate. We overeat. And if you look at social media, you know, the number of posts of people baking and eating cakes and cookies, and the fact that when I went shopping after the first week of the shelter in place, all the baking goods were completely gone. There was nothing left, and same with chips, nothing. Absolutely no chips. So I think that people are self-medicating with food, with TV, with alcohol. I think retreating or withdrawing, that tends to be my go-to. You know, just leave me alone. I can't deal with this. It's too overwhelming to me. So I just kind of retreat and shut down rather than being able to be present to my feelings. Then there's the possibility of moralizing and shaming. When somebody does something differently than how you would like it done, there can be a lot of moral energy, criticism, and that sort of thing. Lashing out. There was a really important article in the New York, I think it was the New York Times last week, that talked about domestic abuse and how in this season it's really dangerous for people who are in that situation because there's no break. Nobody's going off to work. The kids aren't going off to school, and so the pressure builds. So obviously paying attention to that dynamic, whether it's in your church community or friendship circles, I think is going to be important for us. And then I think the last one, which is also probably one that I default to far more than I wish, is micromanaging, you know, trying to control people and control the situations. Obviously, when life feels out of control, one of the things that we just try to do is to control. And the thing we should be doing is just trying to control ourselves. But it's often easier to try, or we think it's easier to try to control other people.
We didn't even touch on the financial aspects of things.
Right.
Some people, you know, losing their jobs or maybe their hours are cut down, that sort of thing, too. That can add a lot of strain on a marriage, on a relationship, on a family as well.
Yes, because nobody knows. So when this all comes to a close, whenever it comes to a close, is my job going to be available to me or is the company going to be closed down? Our son actually just got laid off this week. He works for Rover, which is that dog walking company. So they have uniquely been hit by this because nobody needs a dog walker because everybody's home. So people in small businesses, waiters and waitresses, like there's just so many people we know who have been laid off. And yes, who knows what's going to happen in 2 or 3 months. So total pressure cooker.
What are some of those better options to replace maybe the bad behaviors that we've been kind of admitting here the last couple of weeks?
One of the things that's always been helpful in our marriage is that we own when we've made mistakes and apologize quickly rather than just ignoring our bad behaviors, to be able to own, hey, I was just really in a difficult space last night and I'm so sorry for the ways that I was impatient with you. That sort of quick admission of fault, I think, works wonders in terms of keeping the grace flowing between couples. And that's, I think, another issue is that we really have to be aware of the fact that we're all in this together. This isn't just a one person who's uniquely being affected. Like, we're all being affected. So if we can keep that in mind and up the empathy quotient and up the grace quotient, again, identifying with the struggles that we're having rather than dismissing them or moralizing, I think is super helpful. One of the other things that we have been having here in our household are honest conversations about what we need. So after that first disastrous week where I felt like I was being interrupted just all the time, we sort of established different places in the house where, okay, this is where you're going to work, and Christopher and I are actually on the opposite ends of the house, which that helps to mitigate some of the interruptions that I feel just because what he does is tends to be loud. And then today, when I woke up this morning, I thought, you know, I'm going to make little signs for every one of our doors that says available or not available, because when we're home, we need to be interacting with each other on various things, like, do you want to eat dinner together tonight? But it's hard to know who's working, who's in the middle of a Zoom call, et cetera. So specific conversations, real clarity about boundaries, and then choosing to respect each other's boundaries, I think is a big deal, too, is to not dismiss them or think that what you need is more important than what somebody else needs. And that can tend to be true for us as parents, is that we feel like our needs, the things that we have to accomplish work-wise, are going to be more important than what the kids are dealing with. And they are uniquely stressed, and they have had so many losses. Anybody who's in high school, right, the ending of the sports season, any events that they were hoping to contribute to or participate in, the final production of the year, graduation, like there's a lot of losses. So if we can really be kind and empathetic to each other and maybe even help our kids figure out what does it look like to grieve? How do you face disappointments well and not turn against other people or turn against yourself or turn against God? Because my guess is that there will be some kids for whom this raises some spiritual issues, which gives us the unique opportunity to talk about what do we do when we're disappointed? How do we manage that? And how do we stay close to each other and God? And then maybe the last thing is just whenever possible, which I realize it isn't even an option for some people, but Christopher and I are going for long walks, trying to get a couple game-playing things happening once or twice a week, just so we can push off from the intensity of what we're dealing with and try to remember why we like each other.
Thanks, guys. Some great advice there from marriage expert Dorothy Greco as we try and navigate these uncertain times.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. As a cold front sweeps east of the region this afternoon, the winds will be gusting, and we'll find changeable skies that will include sun, a couple of showers, and by tonight, snowflakes will fly for some. Deeper into the Easter weekend, we expect high pressure to return the sun to the skies on Saturday, but a disturbance will bring us some clouds and a bit of rain for Easter Sunday. For this afternoon, windy with variably cloudy skies, a few intervals of sunshine, a couple of scattered showers, and a few snowflakes mixing in over the high ground of the western Twin Tiers. Temperatures holding nearly steady at present values or dropping a bit. Windy and colder tonight and tomorrow, lots of clouds, and there'll be any rain showers mixing with or changing to some snow or snow flurries that could leave a coating to an inch in some areas by morning, and you might find several inches on the highest summits of the western part of New York. Temperatures tonight dip toward freezing in the 30s to near 40 for tomorrow.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at noon, there's a new quarantine song that sums up a vital message. It's called Stay Away From Me. A radio station asked the legendary songwriter Randy Newman to make a PSA about physical distancing, but it turned into a full-blown song.
Stay away from me. Wash your hands, but don't touch your face. How do you like that?
Says most folks don't like being told what to do, but in this case and in these times, let's all do it together. Hang in there, folks. That is the world we live in this Thursday. As always, thanks for joining us. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.